Blog Talk Radio.
Gotta keep reading, 'cause this book's gonna be a good book. 'Cause this book's gonna be a good book. 'Cause this book's gonna be a good, good book to read. Gonna be a good book, 'cause this book's gonna be a good, good book to read.
Pick up that book and turn the page. You'll never know just what you'll find. Information or fantasy, drama and art, I'll make you smart.
Hi, everyone. You just heard Gotta Keep Reading by Florida's Ocoee Middle School. I'm author and illustrator J.D. Holliday, and welcome to It's Story Time on the World of Ink Network here at Blog Talk Radio. It's Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern on June 15th, 2013. It's Story Time can be listened to live at blogtalkradio.com/worldofinknetwork, or you can listen to it on demand at any time you like at the same address or on iTunes by researching World of Ink Network. This week is chapter book preview, and we have two stories, The Revenge of Thelma Hill by Margot Fink and Robbie's Quest for Seed by Kathy and Don Rush. First, we have The Revenge of Thelma Hill by Margot Fink. Hi, Margot. Glad you could be back again today.
Oh, hi, J.D. Thanks for having me on your wonderful show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. Tell us about The Revenge of Thelma Hill.
Well, The Revenge of Thelma Hill is a young teen ghost mystery set in Oregon. And Franny is the heroine. When Franny and her twin brother moved to Oregon, she had no thought of ghosts, tracking a killer, or a giant arachnid familiar in their creepy new basement. Her thoughts were more on her missing mum, making new friends, and the troubling sibling rivalry between her and Jeff, her brother. So do I go ahead and read now? The Revenge of Thelma Hill. Okay, this scene takes place in Franny's bedroom, another visit from the ghost. And at the beginning of each chapter, I have a cryptic rhyme. Ghosty, ghosty, rattling chains, retaliate and ease your pains. Heavy rain clouds hid the moon, turning Franny's room into a dark cave. Half awake, she shivered. Might as well sleep in the fridge. She tugged the comforter over her ears. The prickle of goosebumps slid up and down her spine. The room had frostbite. Wow! Could this mean the return of the grey ghost? Why didn't I put that camera closer, like under the pillow? Nervous excitement battled dread. Was the ghost there? The urge to know overwhelmed her. Pushing herself up on one elbow, Franny peered at the foot of the bed. Frost covered her quilt, the dressing table and the curtains. Icicles dangled from her bedside lamp. Their eerie white light shimmered over everything in the room. The ghost hung in midair, swaying gently. A low moan escaped her. The grey spidery veils clung to her like a drowned woman's gown. Annie gasped. Her breath went in just fine, but it refused to go out again. The camera lay on the bedside table, forgotten. Holy spitweed! Ghosts are real! Fanny dropped back against the pillows. Fear engulfed her. Her body refused to move. The grey ghost's large, sad eyes looked deeply into hers. Again, impossible to look away. Second by second, like an early thaw, calm replaced Franny's fright. Tense muscles relaxed. Her fingers uncurled. She could breathe in and out, in and out. Tugging the comforter higher, Franny wiggled to make herself more comfortable. During all this time, she never took her eyes off those of the grey ghost. Then it happened. Contact with another mind. For a moment, Franny tensed. Then she relaxed, allowing her brain to absorb a rush of silent communication. Franny James, I need your help. You are my last hope. He got away with it, you see. He's evil. I need your help to make him pay. Oh, yes, he must pay. The ghost swayed alarmingly, wringing its bony hands, the nose-twitching odor of damp earth and decomposing flesh washed over Franny. A bizarre rush of thoughts and sensations made her head pound. She spoke softly, not wanting the ghost to disappear. Stop it! My gray cells will blow a fuse if you don't stop. The intrusive thoughts trickled to a halt. Granny sat up straight and peered at the grey-gowned apparition hovering at the foot of her bed. Look here, I don't know who or what you are or what you're doing in my room. To be honest, your first visit didn't convince me there were ghosts. Granny swallowed the lump that tried to close up her throat. I've never believed in ghosts. Until right now. The grey ghost's mouth twitched in the cartoon of a smile. More words, slower this time, filtered into Franny's brain. My dear girl, I am sorry I frightened you. Ghosts are a fact of life, my dear, or perhaps I should say the afterlife. Her sigh whispered around the room. It is a long time since I communicated with a living person. She flapped bony arms and then, like a genie popping out of a bottle, zipped up to the ceiling. Hanging there, she continued, for years I have been trapped in this house. Before you, not one of those who lived here felt my presence. The ghost looked down at Franny. There now, did I do it right this time? I used my powers to keep you calm. I know you will be unafraid when you understand everything. I do not want you to be fearful because of me. This has got to be 10 shades of weird. Totally. The grey ghost floated down to the foot of Franny's bed. My name is Thelma Hill, and I was murdered in this house 40 years ago. Murder? Franny's nerves twanged. The ghost of Thelma Hill floated around to the side of the bed. She hung there, her feet inches from the floor. Franny sucked in a breath. She definitely felt more comfortable with their way down at the foot of the bed conversations. You see, my dear Earth, you see, dear, my earthly remains were buried in your basement 40 years ago. By now, just a few musty old bones. If I am ever to rest peacefully, my bones must be buried in consecrated ground. Wow. You must be really desperate, or you think I'm a lot older than I really am. The ghost ignored this. I need you to track down my killer. He should be in prison for what he did to me. I want justice. Thelma's eyes burned with anger. Granny's mind scrambled to make sense of it all. You're asking me to catch your killer? You, a real-life ghost? I thought ghosts dealt with that sort of thing themselves. Can't you just haunt him? Take a grip on yourself, dear. I need your intelligent side to work with me. Frivolity will get us nowhere. The frown on her skeleton face was a disturbing sight. And no, I cannot haunt him. I can only haunt this house, the place where I was murdered. Franny interrupted. You're asking me to do weird, dangerous stuff? I haven't a clue how to go about solving a 40-year-old murder. And your bones? How do I get them from this basement to a cemetery without Dad and my brother finding out? Franny shook her head. Anyway, I'm sure I'd need some sort of permit to bury you in a cemetery. And what do I say if I'm caught smuggling a bag full of old bones? She shuddered. Gross! She paused for breath. And what happens if I get all scared again when you go poof, like last time? Her questions begged for answers, but the ghost only said, "My dear girl, you are young. However, I have absolute confidence in you." Franny, where are we? I've lost my place in the book here. Goodness me. Yes. Franny sat back against her pillows. "Look, Thelma Hill, you need a grown-up. I'm just a kid. What can I do?" What about a private detective? He could track down your killer. Have you considered a private detective? She thought quickly. What about an exorcist? They deal with ghosts and send them where they need to go. I hear exorcists are terrific at this sort of thing. No frivolity in those suggestions. No way. An exorcist? No, no, dear, that would never do. Exorcists deal with evil spirits. I am not evil or possessed. I just require a consecrated place to lay my bones and true justice for my killer. A not unreasonable wish. Her eyes glittered in her skull, lifelike and alive. Franny, instantly uneasy, thought, oh dear, this ghost is going to be difficult. I can tell. And I don't think a detective would be very helpful either, dear. Who among you is prepared to believe in what they cannot see? Precious few, I guarantee, and detectives are not noted for their tender psychic abilities, unless things have changed mightily since I departed the living. The ghost waggled a bony finger under Franny's nose. You have the same problem with your family. They have no hint of sympathy for creatures like me, trapped in limbo. No clue a ghost resides in their house. If you told your father and brother about me, they would think you were crazed. The sad look on Franny's face confirmed this. She nodded. That's true, darling. I thought I had a terrific solution for you. It has taken me 20 years to find someone like you, Franny. Her low moan floated round the room. Every time new people entered this house, I tried to break through to them. No, not one human sensed my presence or saw me. The ghost spun upward, whisking around the ceiling. The hem of her gown hung low, its grey edges trailing across the comforter. Her soft voice continued, drip, drip, dripping into Franny's brain. Mournful moans and wild screams were useless. Rattling chains, nothing. You are the first mortal to be on my wavelength. She waved her bony hand. Well, there was that French poodle last year. Poor thing. My moans drove him crazy. He would howl back at me non-stop. I finally gave up when I discovered his owner's plan to get rid of him because of the howling. A papery crinkle of a sigh followed. Believe me, dear, nothing worked until you came along. After all these years, my spiritual strength is running low. We spirits are not given unlimited time and power, you know. 20 years of trying to scare my way out of this house makes it harder and harder for me to materialize. Help me, dear, please. Without you, I am doomed. A vision flashed into Franny's head. Thelma Hill, forever trapped in their dark and musty basement. She felt a sudden tenderness for this creature whose murderer went unpunished. Is it possible? Could I catch a killer? And her bones. Yuck. Yeah, but they really do deserve better than our basement. The eyes of the ghost pleaded with her, their bright, hopeful glance alive with need. When Franny offered no immediate answer, she moaned and wrung her hands. An abrupt wind rattled the icicles and caused the ghost veils to whip around her. Franny shuddered in the chill air. Oh, please don't do that, Mrs. Hill. I'd like to help. I really would. Please, child, call me Thelma. I want nothing to do with that married title. Okay. A tingle of excitement ran through Franny. Well, I've nothing fun planned for the next 3 months. And I haven't any friends to hang with. Her giggle was soft. And I thought this summer would be boring. She wiggled further into the blankets and hugged herself tight. Yikes, 10 shades of spooky. so, what'll it be, Franny James? Traffic killer? Or die of boredom for 3 months? A jolt of super energy plunged through her. A 6-candy bar rush. Okay, Thelma Hill, you're on. But you'll have to tell me everything. She thumped the pillow into a more comfortable shape. How about beginning with why your bones were planted in our basement? The end. Well, the end of that chapter.
The end of that chapter. And that is a very good preview of your book. Really, that is so wonderful. So where does Franny go from there? Can you tell us a little bit more about what happens with her?
Oh, well, I can read you a little more if you like. The next chapter tells you what happened.
Well, I thought maybe you just had, you know, does she take on the ghost, you know, the ghost?
Oh, I see. Well, yes, she does. She tracks. She takes on the one of the main things is her, the sibling rivalry with her brother. And her mother's missing. The beginning
right.
of the story is when she's dreaming about her missing mother. Her mother disappears quite a few years ago, and it's a mystery what happened to her. She wrote to them for about a year, and then the letters stopped. And, of course, later on, Thelma promises to check on the other side of the veil to see if Thelma's mother's there.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
So they have a deal that she will come back after Franny, you know, solves the mystery of her murder, which she does, and she gets buried in consecrated ground, and then at the end of the book, it tells what happens to the mother.
Okay.
And, of course, the sibling rivalry between her and the brother doesn't completely improve, but it gets better.
Oh, good. That's good. All right, so tell us.
There's a lot of scary stuff in the basement, too, with the arachnid, the big spider, you know. And it's funny. There's funny bits and scary bits, and I'm hoping they balance each other out. You know, goosebumps guaranteed on every page.
Right. Well, thank you for reading from The Revenge of Thelma Hill for us, Margo. Tell us, where can people buy your book?
Oh, well, you can buy them from my website, www.margofink.com or Amazon. Some of them are in soft cover, some of them are in Kindle and soft cover.
Right, that's your other books. You can.
That's right. But this one is a Kindle or a Nook or any of those readers. That's how you get it at the moment, you know. And I've got a new one coming out, Down Under Calling.
Right. I saw that you were talking about that online. Now, tell us the titles of your other books so that the listeners will know what other books you have.
There's 13 of them. The other young teen, I've got 3 young teens. The one I read today, The Revenge of Thelma Hill, Taconian Poor Double Trouble, set on a cattle station in Australia. It's an outback adventure. Written for boys or tomboys. And then the new one that's coming, Down Under Calling, set in Australia, about a grandma and a grandson and letters between them and telling stories of growing up in Australia. And then I've got a lot of picture books in rhyme.
Right.
I can't think. My mind's gone completely blank.
Well,
Horatio Humble beats the Big D, which is dyslexia, Ruthie and the Hippo's Fat Behind, Rattlesnake Jam, and Mama Grizzly Bear.
Mama Grizzly,
the story of a year in the life of Mama Grizzly.
Right, which you read on
the
show.
And then there's my wild and wonderful series of e-books, which are now being converted into picture books.
Paperback?
Into soft cover books. Yeah.
Okay.
I've just got the cover for Kangaroo Clues now.
Okay. What's the title of that book again?
Kangaroo Clues. That's the second one in the Wild and Wonderful series to be published in soft cover.
Okay. All right. So tell people where they can find you and your books on the web. Now, that's your website.
MargoFink.com, MargoFink.com, or on Amazon. Just type in my name, Margo Fink, and they'll all pop up.
Oh, great. Well, thank you, Margo, for being here today. I'm so glad.
Oh,
I'm sorry we got you up early again.
All for a good cause. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Show us fun.
Oh, thank you, Margo. Thank you for being here. Okay, next up, this must be the day for losing places. I've lost mine. Here we are. The next story is Robbie's Quest for Seed by Kathy and Don Rush. And Kathy Rush is here to read from the story to us. Hi, Kathy. How are you today? Glad you could be here.
Hi, Jeannie. Thanks for having me. I'm doing pretty good.
Okay, well, tell us about Robbie's Quest for Seed.
Well, Robbie's Quest for Seed is about a group of birds who travel across America searching for adventure and making new friends. The flock consists of 12 birds, including 2 robins, 3 mourning doves, a family of 6 sparrows, and 1 lone blackbird. In this story, the group of lifelong feathery friends flies south to Florida for the winter. The trip south is filled with adventure along the way. Joy, the youngest sparrow, strays from the flock and lands in the backyard of Hershey, a very determined and hungry cat. Her parents and some of the other birds form a search party and hope they find her before it's too late. The birds continue on their journey, only to discover their winter home has been destroyed by a hurricane. Should the birds stay and hope for the best, or should they use their last energy to carry on flying west to Arizona? Robbie's Quest for Seed is a story about leadership, teamwork, and friendship that both parents and children will enjoy. Robbie's Quest for Seed, written by D.C. Rush. It was a beautiful September morning. The leaves were turning bright red, orange, and yellow and falling on the ground beneath the old maple tree. Maple trees were always so lovely in the fall, especially this tree planted well over 100 years ago. The tree trunk and branches were huge, and the tree seemed to tower over everything else the birds could see. On the tree was an old-fashioned wooden bird feeder hanging from one of the lower branches. Some very wonderful people hung this bird feeder on the maple several years ago. Birds from all over northeast Ohio flew to this tree. It was very well known and practically a bird national monument. On this particular morning, some of the birds were feeding at the maple tree bird feeder, while others were bathing in the ceramic bird bath. It was a joyous occasion. The birds could not be happier. Robbie was a very handsome robin. He had a beautiful red chest, and he appeared confident and full of life as he waited his turn at the feeder. The same as every morning, the birds lined up on a 6-foot-high block wall at the back of the yard. The row of birds resembled a busy city airport where the planes were waiting to take off. Today was a very special day. Today was the day when all the birds would begin the journey south for the winter. Once arriving at their destination, it would be like spring break for birds. This year, after much discussion, the majority of the birds voted to head towards Florida to bask in the warm sun. In bird society, the birds vote and agree on a destination. So that's where all the birds will go. Not only was Florida warm, it also offered plenty of food along the pier and at many bird feeders all over the city. Before beginning their journey, the birds needed to eat a healthy breakfast consisting of seed or breadcrumbs. First up at the bird feeder was a family of 6 sparrows. Along with the parents, John and Jill, there were 4 children named Jiff, Jan, Joy, and Jeff. The sparrows happily began eating. Depending on the size of the bird, the feeder could usually accommodate 6 and sometimes 8 birds at a time. This was a good thing because it took a long time for the sparrows to fill their bellies. Although small, sparrows could really pack away the seed. Robbie and other birds patiently waited their turn. The little birds were usually messy, and often a great deal of seed would fall to the ground, where the other birds could get a head start on feeding themselves. After what seemed like several minutes, Robbie finally said, "Come on, guys, let's move it along. This isn't a buffet." Reluctantly, the 6 sparrows left the feeder. Then the three mourning doves named Sid, Sal, and Sky began to eat. Then Robbie and his younger brother, Ricky, took their turn, followed by Benny, a lone blackbird, and several other birds of various breeds that just happened to be passing by. Any bird that was in the area and hungry was always welcome. When the group had finished eating and bathing, Robbie and Ricky took flight, and others followed suit. The group flew as one. If Robbie made a left turn, the entire formation banked in that direction. If Robbie flew higher, so did the flock. Sometimes Robbie made a few quick moves just to see if everyone was together. Finally satisfied they were flying in unison, Robbie turned south, heading away from northeast Ohio. Later that afternoon, the group flew into a truck stop. Robbie had made a good decision. On the ground were half-eaten sandwiches, hamburger buns, chips, popcorn, pretzels, plus many other goodies. It was a wonderful meal. Each bird began to chow down. When everyone was finished, Robbie took roll call. He called out the names, and each bird responded with a chirp to let Robbie know they were present. Robbie yelled, "Jiff, Jan, Joy, Jeff, John, Jill, Ricky, Sal, Sid, Sky, and Benny." Each bird chirped. Robbie was satisfied with the roll call, and the birds once again took flight, heading south to the next destination. One day, when the group stopped for a break, Robbie took roll call. Robbie yelled, "Jiff, Jan, Joy, Jeff, John, Jill, Ricky, Benny, Sal, Sid, and Sky." Robbie heard 10 chirps. Robbie was concerned and yelled out their names again, asking this time, each bird responded immediately upon hearing their name. When Robbie called out Joy's name, there was no response. Everyone looked around to locate Joy, but she was nowhere in sight. Jill became very emotional and began to cry, "Where's my baby?" All the birds were concerned that a child was lost. Benny was very upset. Knowing it was his responsibility to look after the birds, how could he have missed a bird and a child at that? The birds formed a search party to locate Joy. The adult birds voted and agreed that Benny, Ricky, and two of the doves would start searching for Joy. Robbie stayed behind with the remaining birds. The four searchers took to the air. Just north of the Florida state line was a small community with nice older homes. One of these homes lived a cat named Hershey. Hershey was a handsome cat, and he knew it. Hershey's coat was thick and nearly all black, with just a touch of white on all four paws and on his chest. Hershey was a playful cat, but he also had a mean streak. Hershey did not allow other animals in his yard. Sometimes Hershey chased the animals away, but other times the animals met with a terrible fate. Hershey was big, strong, and very fast. As Hershey woke up from a nap, he noticed movement in the far corner of the yard. Crouching down, Hershey moved in for a closer look and discovered a tiny bird near the pool. Hershey thought to himself, although small, a sparrow could make a nice snack. Hershey crouched closer to the ground. Whenever Hershey moved in for an attack, he was certain that he became invisible to his prey. Hershey moved in on the bird. Now his backside was wiggling back and forth. Hershey was now in full attack mode and getting close to pouncing. The little sparrow had no chance against the mighty cat. Just as Hershey was about to pounce on the unsuspecting bird, he saw a flash out of the corner of his eye. Swooping down on Hershey was a blackbird, a very angry blackbird. Hershey became startled and jumped a foot off the ground. As Hershey landed, two doves and a robin flew in and grabbed the little sparrow and began to carry her off. Hershey was beside himself. Now there was nearly half a dozen birds in his yard. As the birds flew off with the little sparrow, they were having trouble gaining altitude. Hershey, sensing he had the upper hand, began to chase the group. Hershey quickly caught up with them and leaped high into the air, but he was out of luck. The rescue team had gained just enough altitude to escape the cat. As Hershey looked down, his eyes became as big as saucers. He had leaped over the middle of the pool. Splash! Hershey hit the water. As the birds flew off, Hershey paddled to the side of the pool and dragged himself out. Hershey's hair was standing up, and he looked like a drowned rat. All Hershey could hear was laughter, and he hung his head in shame for missing such an easy target. The search party returned with the little lost bird. Jill was very happy and began to weep. All the children were chirping and tweeting. The scene was very moving. After checking Joy over to make sure her baby was not hurt, Jill scolded the young bird. Joy told her mom she was sorry and promised she would keep up with the flock from now on. The end.
Very nice. Nice selection from your book.
Tried to get a little bit of everything in there.
Oh, it was very good. I'm a bird watcher, so birds fascinate me. So this was very interesting to read. And I love the way that Hershey the cat thinks he's invisible when he's
about to pass. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
That was really cool. I enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Okay, now, let's see. Let me just say, this is a series, right? Tell us a little bit about the series. Okay, go ahead. Tell us about Robbie. More about Robbie and his friends.
Robbie and his brother Ricky and all of his friends start out in Ohio, and then birds always fly south for the winter. So they decided to go to Florida. And if you read the book, there's a hurricane has destroyed Florida, so they have to make a decision on what they're going to do. And they decide that they're going to go west toward Arizona. They go to Arizona. And then in the next series, it starts getting a little too warm in Arizona. So they decide maybe they should try something else. And another bird that joins the flock tells them about the ocean and says how much that they might enjoy going to the ocean. So they decide to go to San Diego. And they go to San Diego and check out the ocean.
So the series follows different adventures that the friends and family of the birds go and travel. That's very cool. Okay,
yes.
So tell us where people can buy Robbie's Quest for Seed.
All of our books are available as ebooks on Amazon.com, and the paperback version is at CreateSpace. We also have an audio version of the first book, Robbie's Quest for Seed, on Audible.com.
Okay. And can you give us the titles of your other books, since you have other books? Why don't you just tell us the titles of the other ones?
Okay, the second book is Robbie's Quest, Ocean Bound, and the third book is Robbie's Quest, Return of the Cat.
Okay.
And then we're working on a couple more.
Would that be Hershey?
Yes, it would.
Okay. Where can people find out about you and your books?
Okay. They can go to our website, which is www.dcrushbooks.com, or on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/ DC Rush Books.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Kathy, for being here and reading from Robbie's Quest for Seed to us. Thank you.
Oh, I thank you very much for inviting me. This was awesome.
Great. Okay. Our time is just about up. I'm J.D. Holliday, and you can find me and my books at thebookgarden.net. And authors of World of Ink Network.blogspot.com. The show site is itsstorytimeforkids.blogspot.com. You can hear all the World of Ink Network shows at blogtalkradio.com/World of Ink Network. Watch for A Good Story is a Good Story with host, author Marcia Casper Cook, Families Matter Show, The Writing Mama Show, and Stories for Children Show with award-winning author and editor V.S. Grenier, The Right Step with author R. Jeffries, Book Discussion with author and book reviewer Fran Lewis. And you can watch for my new show coming soon, The Author's Words. For more information, The Author's Words are at The Author's Words with J.D. Holliday at blogspot.com. Thank you for listening. The show will be back on July 13th with two books by Dorvi Swickle, Bud Nickel Brown, and A Wormy Day. Bye now.